In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. After the market, Christmas market yesterday, I just found about enough energy to go with my daughter into central London to the Albert Hall to a Jules Holland concert. Anybody heard of Jules Holland here? Well, what a remarkable event it was. Famous, of course, Jules Holland, because he normally invites everybody into the new year. You might have seen that. It was like a religious meeting. For the last 20 minutes or so of this wonderful event, incredibly gifted musicians, they had this lady called Ruby Turner. She was like a black Pentecostal singer. And the whole place came alive. And she finished with this amazing song, and the place just erupted, called Peace in the Valley. Have you heard of that song? There will be peace in the valley someday. I think Elvis used to sing it. Althea's nodding. She must know Elvis. Do you know what it made me realize? Is that actually people desire something from the heart. That's why they wanted to be there. It was like a Pentecostal church. I miss my Pentecostalism, which John and I were part of for many, many decades. Place erupted. And you could sense that people desire something much deeper in their life. And that's why they go to it. There was a connect. There's something deeply spiritual about what was going on. They might not identify it. They would deny it, but it's there. I can hear it. It comes from here. Oh, by the way, you notice that Christmas is coming earlier and earlier. We say that, don't we? How many people here have got their Christmas tree up? Put your hands up. Okay, well, not bad. By the way, the reason for that, it partly is because people want to break up the winter and the darkness, but it goes to something deeper. All the glitz, the coloured lights, a lot of it quite tacky, most of it from China. If you go to South Ruislip, there's a huge warehouse that sells all this stuff. It's massive. Found out this week. The reason that people want it is because they're longing for something more. There's a desire for something more. And they know maybe there is something in Christmas that makes them connect with something that is truly what they desire, but they're not really sure. Like the singing last night and the Pentecostal service I went to. They desire something more. There's a longing in the human condition. And that's why Christmas comes earlier and earlier. They want something more. So every time you see a Christmas tree or a light or decorations outside people, don't condemn it. Bless it. The children who live there, the family there, might find God in that festivity. Beyond the alcohol and the chocolate and the presence, they may find something much deeper. And that's the reality. That's what they want, really. There's a deep psychological longing for purpose. You see, ultimately, there are two views of the universe. One is the view that there is no purpose and meaning to why we are here. That somehow we amble on and we make our own purpose, and that life is really meaningless chance, and the universe is a very hostile, indifferent, cold, dying place. That's one view of the universe. The second view of the universe is that there is a purpose and meaning, and that ultimately love will prevail in that universe. And despite the pain that we see, that everything ultimately will be redeemed. And that when your child wakes up at night and has a nightmare and you say to them, it's all right, you're not lying to the child. You're giving them real hope because you believe that ultimately everything will be okay because there's a purpose as to why we are here and that love will prevail. And that's the Christian choice, ultimately expressed in Jesus. That's what we believe. And by the way, you can't live your life according to this plan on this side. Because if you do, ultimately you end up in meaninglessness, in despair, no hope, and in darkness. So everybody actually lives their life according to this plan because they desire purpose and meaning. But up here, they're over there. But here, they know they need something more. And today we come to this final festival of the year of Christ the King. If you like, it's a final acclamation. It's the encore to the church year. That ultimately, not over there, but here, that Christ is above all and over all and in all. Wonderfully read beautifully by Solomon today, that everything is gathered up in him and he gives us our final purpose. Not just here, not just out there, but in all things. And by the way, Paul was writing this just a few decades, 40, 50 years. Remember, he was a Jew, he was a monotheist. He was saying these things about Jesus in this epistle long before the Gospels were ever written. He was saying these amazing things about Jesus. Everything was gathered up in him. The whole of creation was in him. All things held together by. He was saying this within a relatively short period of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It transformed everything for him. And it should for us. And the wonderful thing is, it's a kingship and a lordship that comes to serve, to give away, to heal, to bless, to bind up, to give purpose, and to find love. And it's centered in a cross. There's an American movement called No More Kings. Have you heard of that? Look it up. ChatGPT. Tell me about No More Kings. It's a movement that is very anti-Trump. Starting about June, October this year, millions of people are protesting on American streets saying we don't want kings because they see it as about centrality and dominance, authority and power. And it puts the National Guard onto the streets in all sorts of cities and just directed. They don't like it. They believe in personal, individual freedom. They don't like kings. The reason that we can profess our king is because this is not about dominance. It's about service. This is not about exaltation. It's about submission. This is not about my rights. It's about letting go of my desires and serving you and blessing you. And that's why we can herald Jesus as our King, because he is the servant King. This is our God, the servant King. That's why we sang it. I chose it. And so at the end of the year, we go back to the cross. Because it's not a gold crown. It's a crown of what? Thorns. It's not very smart, beautiful, expensive, ordained garments. It's nakedness. It's not a sword and an orb. It's pierced hands and feet. And this is why Christianity liberated the world. It liberated the world because it was power from below. It was amazingly subversive. And it dismantled it. It turned the Roman, it conquered Rome. You think about dominion and power. Rome was dominion and power with swords and spears and bloodshed. It was genocide. And it conquered it because it was love that comes from below. I had the children here on Friday from Earlsmead School. I love the kids. They're all going to be here for the next couple of weeks, hundreds of them. And one little boy said to me, he said, "Priest, what's those holes in the hands of that man up there? You look, it's a resurrection, Jesus, that, by the way." He said, "What's the holes in the hands and the feet?" I said, "Those are the pierced nails that Jesus took upon himself because he came as a servant to serve. And it changed everything." If you want power today, Orly, Health here, want a bit of power, want to be the most powerful person here, all you have to do is just to learn how to serve. And wonderfully, if you serve out of your heart because of his sake, you become the most powerful person in the room because nobody can take anything away from you. You've become the servant. And in that powerful place, you can change everything because it's subversive. That's the story we're part of. So I want to stir you up. I don't want to let other faiths get a greater hold in Britain than they are having at the moment. I want us to go back to Jesus as Lord and King. I want you to bring Jesus back into your bedroom, in your home, in your work life, in your daily going out and coming in. I want you to make it real for you. Because I don't want the nation to go to the dogs. I want it to come back to God. And it's down to us, following the servant King. Becoming powerful because we learn to love one another and serve each other from below. That's what I want for you. And it will transform your house. It will transform your kids. It will make all the difference to your future. I know it because it's happened with my family. Today all our little grandchildren will come and we'll be making Christmas puddings. And we stand around the table, we mix the mixture, it's in the Starlink, Sue put it there. We stir the mixture and we say, "Stir up your people, O God, that they might be more faithful and follow after you." That's a great message. It's a great tradition for us as a family. We were making our Christmas puddings today. Can we serve one another? Can we bring change from below? Can we let go of all the distractions that leave us in a dark place? You see, because Jesus is his King, Lord of all, there is no place in the universe that is out of his reach. There is no place on Mother Earth that is not his. There is no place too dark. Even in Nigeria today, for example, where 300 plus young children have been taken away by mob gangs and captured. Pray for them today. There is no place that is out of reach if you trust him. Your home, your family, your future, your health, your life, your death, your work, your job. Every part of our geography is under his control. That's what the story says. And that's what I prefer to believe. It's transformative. I'm taking my sister's funeral on Wednesday. Pray for me at midday, Wednesday, 12 o'clock. But I can do it in the power of the Spirit because I trust the servant King. Amen.
Let us pray. You understand us, Lord. You know our every thought. Nothing is a mystery to you. Stir us up today. Enter into our minds and guide and direct our thoughts. Be before us when we speak. Beside us when we act, and within us when we listen, so that we can truly keep your commandments and walk in the ways of peace and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for our Christmas market yesterday, for the friendship, fellowship, and fun, making all the hard work worthwhile. We thank you for all the people who came through the doors. We thank you for the conversations we had and the new people we met. And we hope and pray that they could see you, Lord, working through us. Let us never forget, Lord Jesus, that your love is offered to us all, fully and freely, so that we may reach out with that love to others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks, Heavenly Father, for all in our church who work diligently behind the scenes to keep St. Andrew's functioning, for those who complete the necessary tasks week by week, those who go out into the community visiting the sick or work as volunteers in other organisations, those who listen out for their neighbours, and those who smile at the stranger on the bus. They don't seek glorification for what they do. Most of us don't even know what they undertake or what comfort they bring. But you know, Heavenly Father, and we thank you that they go out in your name to take the love of Jesus to the wider world. Father in heaven, we give thanks for life and the experiences life brings us. And we ask your blessing on all that we do in your name. We thank you for our joys and sorrows, trials, failures, and triumphs. Above all, we thank you for the hope we have in Jesus Christ, that we shall find fulfillment in him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who are unwell, and especially today for Earl Adams, Malcolm George, Pam Storey, Emily Rockingham, Martin Vowles, and Angela Zadurian. We remember those who are bereaved, and we ask your comfort, Lord, for the North family as they prepare for the funeral of Lyndon's sister this coming week. We also pray for the families and friends of Geoffrey Marshall, who has recently died. And we remember with thanksgiving Gerald Woodward, Ronnie Craft, and Donald Bow, whose anniversaries occur at this time. Servant Lord of all, you were there, sure and strong, when much seems to be falling to pieces around us, when hopes are dashed to the ground and dreams shattered, when we see or suffer injustice, when we face bullying, evil, hate, or pain. Help us to rest our minds in you and in the strength of those everlasting values which nothing can destroy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, give us strength to run this race. Give us your power to do the right and courage lasting through the fight. God, give us strength to see your face and heart to stand still till evil cease. And at the last, O God, your peace. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.